Blog Talk Radio.
You work hard all week long. 1 hour, no money gone. Build a house and the rent is due too. Without the Lord, it will all fall through. There's no need to worry, no need to pray.
Been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life, And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. We pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls. And in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer. And Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus, and we'll thank you for it, and we'll give your name the praise, and we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord, and we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Okay, yesterday we had choir rehearsal, but now we can sing it for real. Come on, help us sing this song. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't fear.
I'm filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
Right there. He always guides me.
He always guides me.
Through mountains and valleys.
Through mountains and valleys.
His joy is refreshing.
His joy is
victory.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God this morning for another Thursday morning, and we thank him for bringing us this far in this week. And he has been good to us, better than we could be to ourselves. And I tell you, in the run of a week, sometimes so much go on. I have to keep track. I have to keep track of the date and the time. And just keep pushing in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I tell you, in this hour, so many people need him. So many people need him. And the harvest is plenteous, just like the hospitals with COVID. There's not enough staff there. There's not enough staff to cover the harvest. And we pray that God will send more laborers into the harvest. But we must remember the labor that he called or chose us for and began to work, because it's day now. But if we keep waiting, night will come. And when night come, no man can see. That's what the scripture says. So we want to go to God in prayer about every little thing. Yeah, every little thing. And we want to believe, have faith, trust God, and have patience. Hallelujah. It's already all right. It's already all right in Jesus' name. But he's seeking those who will work. He's looking for those who understand that he need workers in the vineyard. Yeah. A lot of people are afraid. A lot of elderly people are afraid because they don't know what's going on. And things have changed so much. And I heard yesterday that they would be charging companies who don't have employees that has been vaccinated. Yeah. I've heard that you won't be able to shop. You won't be able to go out to dinner. You won't be able to do this or do that if you have not been vaccinated. So I've seen so many different things about it. One lady was crying and saying, don't take that shot. Don't do it. Don't take the vaccination. Her daughter did it. And in a few minutes, her daughter was dead. Because of this, everybody's body is not the same. You see, my goodness. Everybody's body is not the same. Listen, my mom had straight up diabetes. And she took insulin. Now, diabetes did not sent her home to be with the Lord. They said pneumonia sent her home. But I know it was her time to go. But anyway, I was diagnosed with diabetes and never took insulin. Yeah, never took insulin. Don't think I ever will. I control it by what I eat. So now they call it pre-diabetes. But I know this for myself, everybody is not the same. So how is it you can give everybody the same dose? Yeah, if ever there was a time to pray, now is that time. If ever there was a time to draw closer to God, right now is that time. The world is not looking, they're not checking, they're just going along with whatever's happening. But the people of God, we need to be on alert. Not only that, we need to check the word against the times. Check the word against what's going on. And we'll see, he said, when you hear these things, don't be alarmed. Just know he's on his way back. Hallelujah. He's coming back looking for that people that's ready to go. He's looking for his church without spot or wrinkle. Yeah, so if ever there was a time to pray, gird up the loins of our heart and mind in Jesus. Seek him with our whole heart. It's not time to play. We done played long enough. We had plenty of time to play. Now it is time to get serious with Almighty God who have all power. He's the only one that will save us. He's the only one that can spare us. He's the only one that will give warning that we can be saved. And I don't just mean saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost sealed. I mean he will save us and tell us which way to go, what to do and how to do it. Yeah, he's that kind of God. He's on our side today in spite of us. If you feel like you're backslid, if you feel like you're not growing, pray, and get in the Word. I'm going to tell you what I did. I went to God for myself. I had everything I needed and more. Everything I wanted, I had it, I could get it, wasn't no problems. Money was not an issue. The house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, the Bentley, everything I could imagine was no problem. But guess what the problem was? I had a hole in me. Hey, glory. Money, the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, nothing could fill that hole. Actually losing my mind. Y'all don't understand me today. I was actually losing my natural mind. I could call my dad, but he couldn't help me. He was in Orange Park. This was in 1993, and I was in Birmingham, Alabama. Nothing he could do. It was a hole in me. The more I got, the more I needed, and it still wouldn't fill that void in me. And one day, I was in the bedroom. And it come to me. I know it wasn't nobody but God. You have seeked everything you could seek. You've done everything you could do. Give God a chance. And I thought to myself, I don't know if God is real. Look now. Went to church all my life, basically. Brought my children up in the church. But I don't know if God is real. I went to the window, to the bedroom window, and I looked up in the sky. And I said, God, if you're real, I said, I don't know if you're real. I want to believe that you're real, but I don't know. I heard that you're real. I said, but if you are real, I want to be as real in you as you are real. That's what I told him. Wasn't no church. Wasn't no preacher, no deacons, no mothers, no choir, none of that. Ushers, none of that. Just me in that bedroom looking up in the sky. And when I told him that, when I tell y'all, I meant that from my heart. And I told him, if you are real, I want to be just as real in you as you are real. And whatever it takes to keep me, I want to be kept. Whatever it takes for me to stay with you, I want to stay with you if you're real. I meant that. I meant that with every fiber of my being. I meant that thing that day. I walked on away from the window and went on about my business. The next thing I know, I was praying on my knees, on the side of my bed. That's where I prayed. That was my secret closet. That was my altar. Glory to His Majesty. And I stayed right there. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Stayed right there. I began to pray prayers like this. Listen now. You got to remember I was the dope lady. You got to remember I was laying with men I wasn't married to. You got to remember I was clubbing in the fellas that went to the club with me, I had an entourage, and they made it rain and just drew all kind of attention to us. But now here I am on my knees and praying prayers like this. Lord, because see, I done found out now that He's real. Lord, let me die so you can live. Hallelujah. In me, in other words, let Barbara the flesh die so your spirit can live in me. Look at this here. I began to pick my Bible up, and when I went to the Bible, I began to read, and what I was reading, I began to understand. Listen, I had been in church all this time. My parents brought me up in the building. At home, we couldn't wear shorts. We couldn't wear pants. We couldn't go out without our arms covered. You couldn't wear sleeveless stuff. You had to be careful how you walk. You had to be careful how you sit. They trained us. When I become a young adult, I started trying all kind of churches. to see what was going on, what they teaching, what I didn't understand. Still, I didn't understand. Accepted in when I was 9 years old, I didn't understand, but I kept going. I believed in it, but I kept going. But I wasn't doing nothing, see? I wasn't seeking him with my whole heart. I wasn't seeking him with my life. But when I accepted him, my life was hid in him. So now here I am, I'm praying. I got a prayer life, somebody. I got a Bible study life at home. And I'm understanding what I'm reading. And now I begin to hear from him. In my spirit, I can hear him. Yeah. After this, I had a good friend. Her name was Faith. They like married men, so I didn't dig married men. That just wasn't me. I need a man who would be free, because you're going to do what I need you to do, and I don't need no excuses from you. They come to the house, and I had a big window, had four big panes, and she walking back and forth in front of the window, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm not saying anything to her, but I'm saying it to myself. What's wrong with Faye? She just a fidgeting and walking back and forth. What's wrong? And so, you know, she said, "Hey, Bob." I said, "Yeah." She stopped and she turned. I'll never forget what she had on. I believe it was a green shirt, some jeans, like a burnt orange moccasin jacket. And she had the burnt orange moccasin boots on to match the jacket. Short haircut. I'll never forget her. And she stopped and she turned and she faced me. I was sitting on the couch across the room. She said, "Hey, Bob, peep this." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Bob, I've been going to church." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, I've been going to church." She said, "And I don't really know, but I think the little preacher, he been, you know, teaching me what's right, Bob. I don't really know, but I think so, Bob. I feel different." I said, "Okay, Faith." I said, "Well, quiet as a cat, Faith. I've been praying and reading my Bible." She said, "Bob, God trying to tell us something, Bob. He trying to tell us something, because we didn't live in the same house. I didn't know she was seeking God. She didn't know I was seeking God." She said, "Well," I said, "Faith, what I've been praying, I'm getting answers." I said, "And what I've been reading, I understand." She said, "Well, hey, Bob, why don't you come on go to church with me? And because you understanding the Bible, maybe you'll know if he's teaching us the truth or not." I said, "Okay, Faye, I'll do that." So when Wednesday night came, I went over for Bible study. The pastor was Pastor Rogers. His wife was named Quaddy. Hello. Because, see, this is what I really remember. The Psalms, I thought you read the Psalms on people, the Psalms of David. You read that in Solomon and all. I thought you read that when somebody did something to you. And you couldn't lay hands on them because you'll go to jail. You couldn't shoot them because you'll go to jail. You couldn't stab them to death because you'll go to jail, you know. So I thought that you read the Psalms on them. Now, my parents didn't teach me that. I got that out the streets and from other heathens. And so when I got there that Wednesday night in Bible study, he was teaching the Psalms. And he had started from the beginning, nobody but God, nobody but God sent me over there. He started from Psalms 1, and he broke it down, and he let us know this is what was happening to David when Saul was after him, when God had took his anointing from Saul and gave it to his neighbor David. He taught me that God sent Samuel to talk to Jesse, which is the father of David, and take a look at all the boys, because God had told Samuel he had anointed one of them boys to be king. Yeah. So he started with the oldest, and Jesse was sending for the other boys. And he said, "Is neither one of these, you got another one?" He said, "Yeah, I got one. And he nothing but a little rut out there in the field watching the sheep." And Samuel anointed David, the little boy. The little boy, David, went out to see the battle, see what was going on. Jesse told him, go take him some bread, take your brothers, and them out there some cheese and bread and wine and things. But David was that glad to go because he wanted to see what was happening with the war. When he got out there, he saw Goliath come and threaten Israel. And this little boy went with his bag and he found him a smooth stone or two. And he went up against the giant. Say, you uncircumcised Philistine, who are you to defile the army of the Lord? David was something serious. That's it, because David knew God. And that's what we got to get. We got to get to know God for ourselves. Oh, I hear what you say, preacher. I hear what you say, bishop, apostle, evangelist, deacon, preacher. I hear you. But I got to know it for myself. Because when I stand before God, I'm not standing on your merits. I got to stand on my own. So he taught me about the Psalms. It started there. Then my nephew died. And his wife come to me and she said, hey, I know you like this kind of stuff. She said, I got a lady I want you to meet. She used to be our neighbor. She's a good lady, you know, no foolishness, this, that, and the other. I said, well, okay, let's go meet her. But I didn't know what she was talking about when she said, you like this kind of stuff, meaning prophesizing. I didn't really know nothing about that. You understand? But she took me over to see Miss Winborn, Mother Winborn. And Mother Winborn was the kind of lady, you know, she was an older lady back in the day when you had a living room most times and you had a house full of people. You kept them out your living room because your living room was for when company come, when you get guests at your house, you had somewhere decent for your guests to sit. And then you was proud of your living room because you decorated it. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. Some women, they had the plastic on the furniture because they don't want, you know, you're messing it up. And when company came, they took the plastic off and, you know, they had their drapes and they would iron the drape, all kind of stuff. Anyway, I got over to Mother Winborn's and we was laughing and talking, very pleasant lady, sweet, kind-hearted lady. Yeah, I'll never forget a heavy-set, dark-skinned, beautiful skin. And so we was talking, and then in a few minutes, she said, baby, talking to me. She said, God told me to tell you whatever decision you make, he's all right with it. Now, I know nobody didn't know my business. I hadn't told my niece or nobody, nephew, he did, nobody. And she began to tell me what I was going through. And she told me, go ahead and do it. Whatever decision you make about it, God said it's all right. I said, well, look at this. She said, look, I go around here to this young preacher. He's much younger than me. She said, but I go where God is. I can't worship anywhere. I can't praise anywhere. I have to be in his house. She said, come on and go with me Wednesday night. Because this was on a Saturday when I had visited her. Well, when by that Wednesday, I told my niece, I said, we got to go over there. I just got to go and see what kind of church this is. I went that Wednesday night over to Bishop Charles C. Woods. When I got there, he said, hey, I know you. Well, look, I'm from Florida. And I was rocking the Bicky Winans haircut and, you know, telling how much clothes I got on, how many thousands of dollars of clothes, you know, I got on. So I'm all of that in a bag of chips. So he said, come on in, young fella. He was like maybe 10 years younger than me, if not 15, but he had a pleasant spirit. And so when we got up there, he started the service, and then he got on the organ, and oh boy, we churched a while. I liked what I saw him doing. When that Sunday was coming, that Saturday, I called my niece. That was on the Friday. Yeah, that was on the Friday. I called my niece. I said, hey, can we go back over there to the church where they jumping across pews and swinging from the chandeliers and things? She said, yeah, we can go over there. I'm coming back over there. I kept going and kept going. And I never forget it on the Friday night. God filled me right there in that building. When I come to, He has shook me every which way but loose. He shook everything out of me that shouldn't be in me. Y'all hear me? My pantyhose was raggedy because, you know, back during them times, too, I was taught you go to church with pantyhose on. You know, you don't just go barely. I do it today, but back then I didn't do it. Because I'm being taught, you know, I'm learning more. So I'm becoming more free. I'm coming from under bondage. For whom the Son set free is free indeed. Y'all don't understand. Pantyhose raggedy, one shoe under the choir, first bench of the choir stand, the other shoe back under the bench where the ushers were. I don't know how all that happened. That Vicky Winding cut was no more Vicky Winding. It was just tore up from the floor up. Quan, the pastor wife, came and gave him a purse. I said, woo-wee. But after that, I was never the same. I want you to know. I already had been transformed. I had been what they call converted. I changed from the old ways coming into the new ways. But he wasn't through with me there. He had to fill me, baptize me in his spirit. I come out of there a new creature. I began at home to study the word. I began to seek God on my knees. I began to talk about him to other people. He began to bless me. He began to show up at places I was least expecting him to show up. He began to let me know, where you go, I'm going with you. I'll be right there for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in this hour, this is what we need. Yeah. We need to seek him with our whole heart. We need to get in his word and stay in his word. Because what's coming our way, we're going to need him. And you're going to need his word like you have never needed it before. Right now, we plentiful. We got it. I can go anywhere and get that Bible, you know, from any Bible selling store, Christian bookstore. You know, I can pull it up online, all of this on my phone. But there may be a day coming, I tell you, when it's no longer there for us. What will you do? When they completely destroy the buildings, not shut them down, but completely destroy what we call the church buildings, what will you do? Now is that time for us to draw to God. He said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Meaning if you draw right now to me, I will draw right now to you. And stop depending on the knowledge of these preachers. Stop depending on the knowledge of people. Learn how to seek God for you. I'm telling you this morning. Ask him for a personal relationship with him. He's going to show you, and what God show you, I promise you, I don't care who says something else, what he show you, it will be the truth. We say we love him, but we don't really take his word wholeheartedly. And I know his word true. Yeah, we yet have forms of godliness and we deny the power thereof, but time out for all of that. What's coming our way, we're going to have to be prepared. Not only prepared for that, but we also really, the main preparation is to prepare for him returning. They pulled the troops out of Afghanistan. Now they tell me they're arresting people that have Bibles or Bible apps on their phones. They're killing some of them. Yeah. I think it was Australia, if I'm not mistaken. They was arresting people there. Some people, they wasn't telling them why. They was just dragging them out their house and arresting them. You're going to learn how to have to shut your mouth and cry to God in your mind, from your heart. That's what you're going to have to learn to do. He's given us plenty of opportunity to learn to do this now. And I'm going to say this morning, and I don't want you to think I'm arrogant. I don't want you to think I'm the only one right. I know it all. I got everything. I'm not perfect. I'm yet striving for perfection in God. I'm yet seeking him. I'm yet studying his word. I don't know everything. But that which he showed me and that which he tell me, I know it's the truth. But if he bless you to be here, you are some kind of special to him. I want you to hear me this morning. If God has blessed you to come to Jesus in the morning, And if you came and you stayed, you are some kind of special to Almighty God, because he wants you to have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He wants you to let go of your flesh and take on his spirit. He wants you to walk in his spirit, that you don't fulfill the lust of his flesh. Many churches, many places got all kind of excuses, but let me tell you, unless we got Jesus, I wouldn't lie to you this morning. Good morning, Brother Mike. Unless you got Jesus, you out of gas. Unless you put your belief in him, you out of gas. I'm here to tell you, I don't have no reason to lie to you. I'm plain and simple every day, just like you. I'm common folk. I'm from the country. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. I'm from the South. They say we some of the most ignorant people that you ever want to see. That's where I'm from. But I'm here to tell you today, for real, from my heart, unless you got Jesus, you're out of gas. God so loved the world. This is what he said, and he's not a lying God. He so loved the world that he sent, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on that son won't perish, but have everlasting life. They got some other stuff cooked up. Some people was on drugs and became preachers. Yeah, some of the brain missing. I'm just telling you the truth. Some people see it a whole nother way. But the scripture said this. I didn't say it. You can't hold it against me. I wasn't there when God inspired man to write it. There's a way that seems right to a man. Woo-wee. But the end thereof, Louis, is destruction. I'm glad to have you back this morning, Louis. I got to have somebody to talk to over here. There's a way that seems right to a man. I feel like running right there. Hey, but the end thereof is destruction. We got to get the instructions of God. We got to know what God is saying. The best way for you to know is to seek him, to go to him for his instructions. I love Cardoz, Bishop Cardoz. I wouldn't give nothing for the bishop. I wouldn't give nothing for his wife, Jackie Doz. They love me, and I know they do. I hear what Bishop preach, but I got a Bible and I have to check behind Bishop in the Word. Some things I already know, and some things I go back and check it again. I don't care how much after church I'm friendly and how much after church I'm hugging folks and laughing and having. I'm going and check it. I'm going to check it with God because I got to know for myself. I can't miss that mark. I done forgot those things that are behind me. I'm pressing forward now. I'm pressing for the mark, for the prize of the high calling. I want that high calling in God. And it takes something to get something. Nobody's slipping and sliding off into heaven with him. He said he was going to bring down a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be totally different than this stuff here. Special people going to be there. But in order to get there and that you don't burn forever throughout eternity in hell, we got to get it right. And the best way for us to get it right is to seek God with our whole heart. Study his word and hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against God. Or on the job, if they give us something to study, we on top of it. Oh, I'm in training. I done heard my daughter say it so much. I'd be like, well, go ahead and train, honey. I'm tired for you. But how about training in God's word? How about training through prayer unto him? The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He need more laborers. He need more to stand up and hold up the blood-stained banner. He need more candles on the hill that can't be hid. He need more salt of the earth that gives the earth its savor. The believers, those that call yourself Christians, the saints of God, the people of God, you don't understand the power that we have. You don't understand all he gave us, but we scared. We went to new wave, new age stuff. But he said, go back to the old path and take a look around. See, we don't want nobody to think that we ignorant. We want the new wave, new age church to think that we are like them. But I'm different. I'm a peculiar people. I'm a peculiar person. I'm of a royal priesthood. I'm a queen for real. I was born into royalty. And I didn't have to enter my mother's womb a second time. I had to be born of the water and the spirit and the water. I had to be baptized in Jesus' name. I come up walking in the newness of life. I went down in the liquid grave and rose up like he did. Hallelujah. But many of us don't understand because we're seeking the preacher to give us knowledge. We're not seeking God to get knowledge from him. You got to seek him for yourself this morning. I wanted to share that right off the bat. Again, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Who all want to go to hell? Who all happy to go to hell and burn throughout eternity? Who all happy to go to hell and you don't have no water, no cold water? You're down there with demons torturing you and everything. Who happy to go there? If we don't want to go, let the world go. Let the world ways go. Let that new wave, new age thinking go. Go back to God and tell him to show you the old path. And tell him you made your mind up to stay with him. Lord, show me the way. I'm down here. I'm in the earth and I'm on your power, Lord. Because of you, I have my being. But Lord, if you show me the way to heaven, I want to walk that way. If you show me the way to please you, I want to please you. If you show me the way to do what you can accept, I want to do only what you can accept. Because Father, I know you don't accept any and every old thing. And without you, I can do nothing. I can't do this on my own. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't sanctify myself. I couldn't set myself aside unto you. I couldn't fill myself with your spirit. So, Lord, I need you to do all of this for me and lead and guide me. I'm willing to go in the right path for your name's sake. Everything needs to be about him. Even our righteousness is as filthy rags. We think we something, honey. We feel like God owe us something. He don't owe you nothing but death. Oh, wretched man. Oh, liar. Oh, worldly thinking. That's all we deserve is death. We need to shake ourselves and realize without God, we can do nothing. And start walking according to him. I promise you, if you go to him from a sincere heart, you're going to hear from God. Many come every morning because you've heard from God before. You've seen what he's done for you before. You saw him take care of your children. You saw when you didn't have no money, he made a way out of no way. You saw when you needed a job, he gave you employment. Didn't have food on your table, he blessed you with food. He blessed you to get from one situation, bad situation, to a better situation. And some people, they like the world, they just want to use God. You can't use it. He know the very intent of your heart. He know the very intent of every thought that you have. Time out for thinking we all of that in a bag of donuts. Time out for thinking we just here and God going to do everything. No, that which you can do, God won't do it. That which you can't do, that's what he'll do. You can study that word. He don't have to study it for you. You can pray. He'll pray through you, but he don't have to pray for you. He gave you the ability to pray. Gave you the ability. If you can't even read, they done put it on CDs for you. Now you can hear. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. But that's what so many of us, we lacking. Real faith in God. We're lacking that faith. We're lacking that trust. we're lacking patience to wait on him to come and fix it. I prayed for it at 5 o'clock. He moved by 5 minutes after five. I got to do something. You really do have something to do. Stand on his word. And after standing, stand some more. You're standing on the sure foundation. And it's already all right this morning in Jesus' name. Yeah. But we got to remember that. Lord, I want to go the right way with you. I want to follow your straight instructions. I don't want it to seem right to me. And I'm doing it in the end that rub is destruction. I want to live right. I've seen so many cry, I got the Holy Ghost. He the Messiah. He coming on the Kawasaki. I've seen him in the Mitsubishi. All of that, and you on your way to hell. Men are going to come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, I cast out demons. I heal the sick. Look at this. I raised the dead. You got to tell them, depart from me. I don't know you. Simply because you use the name. And I wanted to bless the dead person. I wanted to bless the sick person. I wanted to bless the person with demons. You use the name Jesus, and I did the work in his name, not because of you, because you don't even know me. You prophesied so that you could get money. I gave you the gift of discernment and discerning things. And you used that, but you used it to get money. You didn't use it to bless my people and to edify them and to lift them up. You did it to gain wages. Yeah, I don't know you. You got to go because you can't go with me. I can't take you. Your heart is not right. You never made up your mind for me. You made your mind up for everything else but me. And fake preachers and fake so-called Christian people and believers. And if you're fake, it's time to get real. If you're playing, if you're forgetting God, it's time to tie some on your arm. Put it around your wrist. So you can remember. Put some on the back of your head so you can remember God. Whatever it takes. Because you don't want hell to be your home. I'm telling you this morning. Sister Stella and I yesterday were talking about Lazarus and the rich man. I told Stella, I said, he asked for just the crumbs off the table. She said, yeah, he wouldn't even give him the crumbs. He could have gave him more than crumbs. He wouldn't give him nothing. And then get in hell asking God, can you send Lazarus to stick his finger in some water so it can cool his parching tongue? No. Let me go back and tell my brothers. He told them, no. They ain't going to believe because I'm died and come back. He said, no. They didn't believe before. She said, you know who he was talking about? I said, yeah, himself. He had died on the cross for us, and we didn't believe that. He rose from the grave, and we don't believe it. So sending you back to tell him, because I came from the dead, you're going to believe? No, they're not believing that. Lazarus rose from the dead. You think they believe? Many still saying there ain't no God. Some say Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. I'm telling you the truth this morning. He was the son of the true and living God that have all power. The God that there's no higher power. I'm not lying to you today. I got to tell you the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Because God will hold me accountable. He's real. Do you hear what I say? God is real and he play no game. And the only way to him is through his son, Jesus. You can't. If you come any other way, you come as a thief and a robber. That's what he said. If you come to him any other way than through his son, Jesus, you come as a thief and a robber. That's what he said. You ain't got to believe me. One day he'll show you. Hey, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning for the truth. We thank you this morning that you made a way to redeem us back to you. We thank you that you love us in spite of. You look beyond fault and yet meet needs. We thank you for being on our side. We thank you that we can cast our cares upon you, for you care it for us. Without him, I wouldn't be here this morning. I'm telling you the truth. Without him and his word, I wouldn't have made it this far to 2021. August the 19th. Somebody sung a song that said this, Louis. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, early morning voice, tell me where would I be? Somebody tell me, where would I be? He made my enemies leave me alone. He made my enemies my footstool. He made those who didn't like me, he made them to love me. Oh, y'all don't understand today? This is a pressing way. I can't tell you this is an easy way. It's a suffering way. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone, and I know there's a cross for me. If it had not been, Louis, for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? Ha! Where would I be? Dead and gone. If not that, I would be 64 years old in the mental institution. By now, they probably would have done gave me shock treatment, and I really would have been crazier than a bed bug. Ain't no telling what my hallucinations would have been, paranoid, schizophrenia. Ain't no telling what it would have been. Never smoked crack, never done heroin, no drug. Hit a little marijuana, that's a drug. Hit a little marijuana, cry, roar, that kind of thing. But hadn't did no deep drugs. But at 64 in the mental institution, I would have been crazy. God, I thank you this morning for deliverance. I'd have continued on that path. I'd have probably had AIDS and everything else, COVID, anything. In the mental institution or dead in my grave. Waiting to be called forth to go to hell. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't hear me this morning. God is real. God is real. Thank you, Brother Mike. Only you and Louis like it. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. If it had not been for him on my side, I wouldn't be here. I don't have no reason to wake up in the morning and come at 7 o'clock and lie to you. I could spend that time doing something else. I could spend that time seeking to make money. He's on our side today. All power. Almighty God, Jehovah, that have all power. There's no higher power. But we got to get real with him and stop depending on these preachers. I lead folks to God. I don't lead folks to me. Freedom doors, Jesus in the morning. No, I lead you to God. I drop you off, tell you what to do. You got to seek him with your whole heart every day. You can't leave him out of nothing. Once I drop you off to God, it's between you and him. Now my job is done. I don't get in your business. I'm not trying to be at your house. If you come to me, I'm going to tell you the truth. You can accept it or not accept it. Now, if you don't accept it, things going to get worse and worse. It'll never get better because you haven't accepted what God said. I'm not telling you this because this is what Barbara wants you to do. I have my own business. I got so much. I told you I got a platter. I don't have a plate. And my platter is running over. I don't need nobody else's business to make my life complete. I got too much of my own. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you're a way maker. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But we got to go to God for ourselves. Stop depending on these people. The woman said this. She said, silver and gold. But she'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. She said she woke up one morning feeling kind of down. She called on her best friend. She could not be found. But she called on Jesus and his life, he made it whole. She'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Because see, money answers all things, but in many cases, money won't help you. You can't pay your way out of hell. I know folks think they can. And that's why they give you money when you prophesy to them. All the preaching you done, all the teaching you done, all the praying you done, they ain't going to give you a dime. But you tell them something they really want to hear or something, give them real confirmation and see what they do. Honey, they'll give you their house note money. That is crazy to me. Give me some money when I pray for you. Because what I told you, God said he was already going to do it. When I teach you the truth, give me some money for the truth. The truth's going to keep you out of hell. Prophesied, that's for a season. You wanted a mortgage. You wanted the mortgage company to approve you for a home. Okay, they approved you for a home. Now what? You got to get furniture and this and that to go up. Then you got to get homeowner's insurance. Now what? You got to pay taxes. But when I pray for you, it covers a lot. I didn't just cover the mortgage from the mortgage company being approved. I covered your family. I covered your children. Give me some money when I pray for you. You hear, sugar? When I teach you the truth, because you didn't understand this, now you understand it. And guess what? Afterwards, you heard from God. Give me some money for that, please, honey bunny. A laborer is worthy of his hire. But they think it's only when they prophesy. But when I pray for you, when I give you good instructions, you know it's right, but you're refusing it. You'll make excuses for what's wrong. Won't give me a dime. But Louis, let me prophesy, Louis. And they'll clean their bank account out. I prayed and I told the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want people pimping me through you. I'm pimping you through me. I don't want it. Let me prophesy when it's needed. I was born with the gift. It's no joke, honey bunny. It's no joke. And sometimes God will speak, but we don't hear it right. Because we hear what he done told you what it is, but you don't hear it right. Because you so wanting what you want until you miss what he really said. Then you'll say, oh, she didn't tell me the truth. She said this and it didn't happen. I told you what he said. And he meant what he said. But it's you. It's not me and it's not him. But when I pray for you, when I tell you the truth, when I explain the word and break it down, that's when they give money. The prophets, I can't blame them. I cannot blame them. Because if you're going to give up them dollars, come on, bring them to me. I can use them. Come on to the $100 line. Hey, that's 30 of y'all that can give me $1,000. I need 30 folks up here to bring me $1,000. And they run up there and give it. Then they tell you something you want to hear. Huh? All right, the $1,000 line. And hey, there is 100 of y'all in here that can bring me $100. Y'all come on and bring me $100 bill. 100 of y'all. And look how they do it. They taper it off. Not them with the $50. Y'all come on. Them with the $25, $75, whatever it is. And them with the $10. Just come on. I'm going to just touch you for $10. There's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Prayer do much more than prophesying. I'm here to tell you today, prayer does more. If you can believe in God, if you can have faith in him, if you can trust him, and you can have patience. Itching ears, running after signs and wonders. I want to run after God. He's the author and finisher of my faith. His son Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and they are one. Ain't no separation. Well, how can that be? Well, guess what? I'm BJ and I'm Barbara. Guess what? I'm Bobby Jean and I'm Barbara. That's how I can be. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That's why I have cases. That's why I have case after case after case. Why is that? I'm teaching good things and they communicate with me. You don't hear me tell you, honey, come on over there, call me. And bring me $300 on the call, and baby, God gonna bless you. Well, if he gonna bless you, why? I need the $300. Forgive me this morning for laughing, Lord. If he gonna bless me over there, why I need $300? And see, God loves a cheerful giver, but people ain't got that in their spirit right yet. They ain't got that down in them yet. Anytime you give to the one that's blessing you, God is going to bless you back. But they only think that they supposed to bless you when you prophesy. See, tit for tat, I'm giving you something because you gave me something. Well, I've been giving you something. I've been giving you prayer. I've been covering you and your family in prayer, your friends, on the job. I've been covering you in prayer. You didn't give nothing. Now why? What's up? What's wrong? Hallelujah. I just like to teach you the truth. And it's already all right. Listen, I have a message for you this morning from Pastor Tim Ross. I love this little boy because he's a little boy under me. Yeah. And Pastor Tim Ross says this, stop tripping. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love you, Lord. Stop tripping is coming. Tim Ross says, stop tripping is coming. I say this, stop doubting. Stop doubting God. It's coming. Whatever he has promised you is coming. House on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. The big Bentley. The Beamer. The BMW. Yeah, if that's what he promised you, it's coming. If he promised a raise on the job, a higher position, promotion on the job, it's coming. If he promised to heal you, he going to heal you. We can't hurry God. We just got to wait and give him time. You can have faith, but you yet got to wait on God. I believe. The devil tried to show me last night your daughter going to die on the ventilator. He's a lie and a fool. And I'll make a liar and a fool out of me if I let him. I serve Almighty God that have all power. I ask him to let her live and not die to declare his works. If he sent her on home, guess what? To be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. It's his will. I accept what God allows. Or I'll be hurt. Yeah, this is my oldest daughter. I waited a long time to get that girl. But guess what? She didn't never belong to me. I was just a vessel he chose to bring her forth. He knew her before she entered my womb. Hey! So I can't be upset over that. What I got to do is tell him thank you and keep it moving. Keep it moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, let's go to one quick song, and then we're coming right back with Pastor Tim Ross. Stop tripping is coming. Willie, I want you to hear this one, Willie. I want you to hear this one. Hallelujah, Jesus.
With our arms open wide. Book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2. It's our custom to stand for the reading of God's word. The book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2. I am on assignment this morning, and the Lord has given me specific instructions to preach this word to you. I believe it should impact everybody, but it might impact some people more than others. Sometimes when a prophetic word is spoken, literally what is happening is your spirit has been waiting all of eternity to hear one word. And when you hear that word, it makes sense of everything that has happened in your entire life. Okay, I will. Sometimes when you hear a prophetic word, your spirit has literally been waiting all of eternity to hear one word that makes sense of your entire life. And it's not going to be based on circumstance or situation that makes you believe that God has purpose for your life, but it is by that one word that makes everything that you've been going through palatable. I can handle this now because I understand why. It makes sense now. There's going to be two type of people in here in the next hour. And both of these individuals are going to give an offering. I'm not going to raise an offering at the end of service or anything like that. But if this prophetic word hits you, there's going to be two people. The first set of individuals are going to be the ones that feel that word hit your spirit, and you're going to sow financially into it. The denomination doesn't matter. It's the response based to the word. It's number one. Number two, the second set of individuals are going to sow their lives. So think it not strange if you start seeing people come down here and give offering envelopes and just lay it at the altar, because they would have literally grabbed that word for their heart and just sow the seed in response to that word. They're going to lay an offering envelope at the altar. That's the first set of people. The second set of people are going to be the offering envelope. And they're going to finally say, no more, no mas. I can't do it anymore. It's time for me to give my life to Christ for real. Habakkuk chapter number 2, when you have it, say amen. Now, if you in Hosea or Haggai and you just gave up, we'll give you E for effort. Give me a little more sound on the mic and I think I'll be great. I will stand watch, set myself on the rampart and see, watch to see what he will say to me, what I will answer when I am corrected. Habakkuk has been in a conversation with God because he does not understand how is it that the righteous can be prospering. I mean, how the righteous cannot be prospering and the wicked seems to be continuing to prosper. It's confusing even to prophets. So you are not alone. He wants answers. Why are people that are sinning living good? How come the righteous are living bad? I want answers. So he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, not in the middle, not three quarters, not when you see the finish line, but at the end. It will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come to pass, it will not tarry. Huh? Though it tarries, wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will surely come to pass, it will not tarry. So is it going to tarry or if it's not? Why are you? Why? Why, God, must you always? You can't make nothing simple. You answer a question with a question. You speak in riddle. And we stress out because we don't know what you're talking about. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. I want you to pay close attention to the third verse. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. This is my assignment to preach from the subject this morning. Stop tripping. It's coming. Stop tripping. It's coming. Bow your heads, let's pray. God, help us to stop tripping. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The just shall live by his faith. We understand faith based on what was written about faith. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We understand that there is no way that you can get faith without hearing about it. In the book of Romans, it tells us that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then, we have faith when we hear the word of God tell us to. We do not have faith before that. We have faith for something because the Lord has literally put it in our spirit. And once it gets locked in our spirit, somehow there is no situational scenario. There is no circumstance. There is no issue that we can go through in life that can make us separate from the word that's already been stuck to our spirit. If we would have never heard it, Pastor Fazen, that would have been one thing. If God would have never spoke anything into our lives, we could just kind of live life with no expectation. But it's when your spirit won't let you rest with the situation that you're in, because God has divinely spoken to you and told you it's going to be better than this. If you'd have never heard it, maybe you would have thought, I hope it gets better, but there would have been no expectation for it. But then when God says, your life in the end will not be like it was in the beginning, it just complicates everything, because I wasn't even thinking about nothing else, and then this word hit my spirit, and now all I can think about is when. How? When is it going to happen? When is the breakthrough coming? When will the deliverance be here? If I'd have never heard it, I wouldn't be looking out the door every day. If I wouldn't be looking in the mailbox all the time, I wouldn't be peeking around the corner searching for what it is that I believe that I heard in my spirit. If he wouldn't have said nothing to me, I wouldn't have bothered him. But now I see myself on my knees laboring and crying out before the Lord, heaving and groaning in my spirit, saying, when? Why? How? How could you get me to a place of victory in the spirit when everything in my physical realm says absolutely the opposite of what I hear in my head? How's that happen? How do we get to this point where we want to be faithful? We want to believe what he said. But the longer it takes to get what he said, our patience seems to wane. Culture is partly to blame. We have everything that we could want in this culture right now. We don't have to wait for nothing anymore. We just celebrated the culmination of many years of hard work for seniors in high school and those that have just graduated college, whether it was for their bachelor's or their master's or even their doctorates. But the truth of the matter is, our culture now is celebrating children at every stage. So there's a graduation for preschool. Then you graduate from kindergarten. Then you graduate from first grade. Then you graduate from second grade. Then you graduate from third grade. Then you graduate from fourth grade. And so no one has the wonderful ability of delayed gratification, because we reward you for something that you're not even done with yet. I'm not buying you a present because you graduated kindergarten. You're supposed to graduate kindergarten. If you fail kindergarten, you need a helmet and some help. I don't know what to get little Johnny. He's graduating. You're like, oh my God, you know, probably an expensive watch or a nice Mont Blanc pen. I mean, man, if he's got through all of those years, no, just kindergarten. Well, get that joker some crayons and tell him to move on. He got a lot of more work to do. He is nowhere close to getting where he's supposed to be. And so we have celebrated each matriculation when we should just be saying, that's what you were supposed to do. That's your reasonable service. Holla at me in sixth grade when you go to seventh. Maybe I'll buy you a little something. Holla at me maybe when you graduate high school, you perchance you get through college, then we'll really have something to talk about. But right now, you ain't done nothing yet. Tell somebody and say, you haven't done nothing yet. Yeah, yeah. We suffer 6 months and think we done something. We want to enter into our inheritance right now because we believe that we have already got it. It is already done. We have already accomplished what it is that God has wanted to do in 6 months. You haven't done nothing. But we live in a generation that wants everything now, and when we can't have it now, we throw tantrums. And you have never seen a tantrum like an adult tantrum. My son is 10 months old, and he throws a tantrum, and it's justified. He's 10 months. I can't even pop him yet, so I just flinch at him. But he's 10 months old, so there's not really a big deal. When you're 35, throwing a tantrum, it's not a good look. I don't understand why I don't have it. Why? Why? And we don't throw them in public. No, we're too civilized for that. We get home, close the door, and we call it prayer. I was laying before my face for about an hour and a half, girl. I was just in prayer. No, you weren't in prayer. You were throwing a tantrum. And God is looking over the balcony of heaven saying, for real? Really? Why, God? I don't understand, God. And I sold my seed, God. And I did what you were supposed to do. And I went on the fast, God. And I did it. And I've been suffering, God. And it's been 3 months and you still haven't moved. And I'm going to die. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. The ministering angels have stopped mid-flight like, oh, I don't want to go help that person until get them some Kleenex and a diaper.
Uh-huh.
If you're 35, you need some Depends, but it depends. What's the real problem? The real problem is we don't want to wait for nothing. And when God speaks something to our spirit, we have to have the ability to wait for the answer. Patiently waiting for the answer. In my text, Habakkuk is a prophet, and he cannot figure out, even with his prophetic mantle, why the wicked are prospering. I do not understand how the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, can continue to prosper this long, and we are suffering for your namesake, and we are still sacrificing. We're doing everything that we're supposed to do, and they're still prospering, even though they're wicked and hedonistics, and they're in the midst of depravity and decadence, and they're still prospering. But I don't have nothing. This is the prayer of a saint that is tired of waiting. I want to know what's after this. And so God starts having a conversation with Habakkuk. And after he gets his first answer, after Habakkuk gets his first answer from God, then he goes back and asks him another question. Okay, you answered that one. Now I have another one for you. And he asked the second question. And when he asked the second question, he understands at this point now that he has to wait for the answer. So the word of God said that he goes into a high place. He goes into the watchtower to wait on the answer. When you've been waiting on an answer from the Lord that he's spoken to your spirit, you must go to a high place. You cannot be low where common people are, where they are putting seeds of doubt in your head and in your ears, trying to tell you that the promise that you heard in your spirit will not come to pass. Stay with me right here. You cannot be around the type of people and the individuals that are speaking into your spirit negative thoughts and making you second guess what you know you heard in your spirit. You have to go to a high place. No matter what it takes, if you got to separate from friends, if you got to separate from family, if you have to isolate yourself, thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of you all, God has put into a season of isolation to get you away from familiar voices because you're so used to hearing their voice, you don't recognize God's anymore. And God is saying, I need you to get to a high place. I need you to go so high that you don't hear nobody but me. Get every filthy imagination out of your spirit. Get your old way of thinking out of your spirit. Get your old denomination out of your spirit. Get traditionalism out of your spirit. God's about to do a new thing. And if you're going to get the answer is not down here. It's up there. Yeah. Touch three people and say, the answer's not down here. 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 I got to go higher. I got to go higher. Even though I don't feel like going higher, I got to go higher. Even though I feel like laying down and dying, something in my spirit won't let me rest. I can't get no sleep. I can't get comfortable. I'm trying to go around my old friends and we can't even jive right. I get to the family reunion and I'm literally the black sheep of the family. Nobody understands me. They're saying one thing and I'm saying another. They're talking about one thing and I'm talking about another. They're talking about the past and I'm talking about my future. I got to get to a higher place. I can't stay here no more. I can't live here no more. I got to change my address. Get up. Get. If the elevator's broke, baby, take the stairs and get up to where God has called you to be. I got to go higher. I got to go higher. I can't stay here. If I stay here, it's going to be a hot mess. If I stay here, I will never be in the will of God. If I stay here, thank you, Holy Spirit, not just here physically, here mentally, here emotionally, here spiritually, I can't stay here no more. I can't let the enemy continue to bombard me with thoughts of what I did 5 years ago. I got to get up out of here. I got to get my psychological mind out of here. I got to get my spiritual mind out of here. I got to get my emotional mind out of here. I gotta break this soul tie and get out of here. I ain't been in the arms of a man in 5 years and I'm still thinking about him. The devil is a lie. I got to get up out. I gotta get out of here now. If I stay here, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die if I stay here. And so the prophet says, I got to get up. If I don't get up, it's going to be a problem. If I don't get up, the solution's not going to make sense. If I don't get up, I'm going to continue to grow older without ever going forward because I spend too much time living and wallowing in my past. I got to get up and go to the high place. I can't hear God correctly and it's starting to get me confused. And for the last 2 years, I've been noticing I'm walking around in a circle and everybody else is getting blessed but me. And the only difference between me and them is my position. They're up, I'm down. I'm going up that ladder. I do not care if I got to tie a rope with a grappling hook and pull myself up. No matter how I get there, I got to go. When you go high, expect to be alone. We throw in tantrums as children of God. And God, I'm alone and you don't send me nobody. I'm alone. And you don't have time to be around nobody right now. You waiting on an answer.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, help me.
Yes, sir.
See, people that know their position in life right now and know why God has them in this season knows that they're waiting on an answer. I've been waiting my whole life for an answer. I've been waiting my whole life for an answer to this situation. I need to know why I went through that as a child. I need an answer. I need to know why I grew up without a father. I need an answer. I don't have time to mess with you. I don't have time to try to replace the father figure that I did not have. I need an answer. I don't need you. I need an answer. I don't need your relationship. I need an answer. I need an answer. When I get my answer, I can get a relationship. When I get my answer, I can hold the job. When I get my answer, I will have self-esteem. When I get my answer, I will be okay. But I cannot be okay without an answer. Question mark surrounding the prophet's head, and he says, I can't take it anymore. I'll go up and I'm gonna wait on my answer. He goes up. He says, I gotta get my answer. I gotta get my answer. I gotta get higher than this.
still too low. I gotta get up. I can't. Gotta get my answers. There's somebody here. There's nobody up here with me. I'm all alone. I got people yelling at me down there that I've been up here too long waiting. They're trying to make me come down before I get my answer. The devils are distracting me. Demons of hell are distracting me, telling me that you don't need an answer. Just come back into my arms. You don't need an answer. Just come back to this addiction. You don't need an answer. Just go back into low self-worth. You don't need an answer. Just go back into depression. But that devil is a lie. I'm going to stay up here until God does for me what he said he was going to do. If he didn't say it, I wouldn't be believing for it. But since he said it, I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. I said, I got to have it. I got to have it. Yeah. This is exactly what I saw in my spirit. I got to have it. And so he's up and he's waiting on his answer. Lord. The Lord comes down when he gets up. I said, the Lord comes down when he gets up. He said, you sacrificed all of that to get up here? That's the highest you can go. Let me make up the difference. I know that's as far as you can reach up to me, baby. So now the rest of the way, I'm coming right down to you. I will be Emmanuel. I'm coming right down. I'm coming right down into the midst of your situation. I know you got as far as you could and just put up your hands and said, pick me up, daddy. I'm coming right down into that situation to come get you. I'm going to lift you up and take you where you need to be. I'm coming down because you came up. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? God comes down with his answer. This is what he says. He says, I need you to write down on tablets what I spoke into your spirit. The word that I place in your spirit, you will not be able to run with it until you write it down. Stay with me, because I know you've heard this message before, but I don't know if you heard it correctly. Here's why you have to write it down. It must be written down because it is in writing it down that you recognize, first of all, what he said, how he said it, to a T. If you do not write it down, when the enemy tries to come in and distract you, you will twist up what he said. You will start making up stuff and justifying situations that are beneath his standard to try to fit what he told you. But if you can write it down, you can go back to it and look at it verbatim and say, no, you ain't it. Oh God, I wish I had a witness in here. God is not the author of confusion. It's just that you haven't wrote down what he told you in the first place. I know you believe in God for a husband. You believe in God for a wife. Write it down. Make it plain. That way when knucklehead come, you can pull out the tablet and be like, no, you ain't it. My bad. I thought you was somebody else. My bad. Right back. I thought you was somebody else. No. Write down the business plan. Write down how he told you to run the business. That way you won't get in with a crooked partner that tries to make you go in a direction that is in the opposite direction of what God told you to do. Write it down and make it plain. Write it down and make it plain. Write it down and make it plain so that he that reads it can run with what they read.
Yes, sir.
I don't have time to get it wrong again. You got to be over 30 to get that.
I don't have time to get it over. I can't break up with you again. I can't go through this again. I can't get fired again. I got to get this right. I'm losing some time. I'm in my 40s. I'm in my 50s now. I'm all the way in my 60s. I can't burn my retirement check on a maybe. I need to know if it lines up with the purpose and plan for my life. I'm not going to spend the last 20 years of my life in hell and torment. I went through that the first 60. These last 20 are going to be better than the first 60 because my ladder shall be greater than my former. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody just needs to give them 60 seconds of praise right there. Right there. I'm going to write it down and it's coming. I'm going to write it down and I'm going to get it. I'm going to write it down and it's coming my way. I'm going to write it down and run. Run with what I read. Run with what I read. Run with what I read. Yeah. When you get it down on paper, anybody that comes to your life, you before you give them permission to walk with you, you say, read this. Before you get in that next relationship, write down what he told you in your spirit and say, read this. If you agree to the terms and conditions of what I have written on this tablet, you are in. If not, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. I ain't got time to fool with you. I don't want you in my life. We cannot be best friends. I will reject you on Facebook. You can't get in nowhere. Cyberspace, any space, my space, your space, no space. Can't get in. Read it and weep.
Yes, sir.
Read it and weep. If you don't like this, step off. Go to somebody else. But I cannot fool with you. I'm going somewhere. Write the vision.
Make it plain.
Make it plain.
Yes, sir.
Write the vision. And make it plain. I got to say it again. Write the vision and make it plain. Don't go off of what you heard. When you heard it, lock it in, but then write it down. Write it down so they that run can read it. But in those moments of isolation, when the enemy's trying to make you doubt that what you heard wasn't the truth, you have to have it written down so you can refer to it before depression creeps in. You have to write it down so you can refer to it before the enemy tries to come in and steal from you what you know God gave in your spirit. When you ain't got no money, you need to read what he told you. When nobody is your friend, you need to read what he told you. When you get laid off from your job, you need to read what he told you. Preachers, when you have a gift to preach and ain't nobody calling you to preach, you better read what he told you. Whatever he gave you in your spirit, write it down so you can refer to it in times of trouble, because the enemy would love nothing more than to snatch his word out of your spirit. But your spirit has caught something in the eternal that everything in the natural realm is trying to catch up to. God, I feel his presence in here. This is ridiculous. Good God, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Somebody just shout out, I'm going to write it. Hey, I'm going to write it. I'm going to write it. Write it down. Make it plain. So that they that hear it can run with it. That's all good and dandy. He continues in his discourse with Habakkuk. And this is what he says. You wrote the vision. Y'all sit down. Why y'all stand up, man? We just talking. That's what he says. Write the vision and make it plain so they that hear it can run with it. They that read it can run with it. But here's what you got to understand, Habakkuk. Here's what you got to understand, Potter's House. The vision is yet for an appointed time. What I spoke into your spirit is going to come to pass. But it's not going to come to pass based on your present circumstance. My vision does not respond to your misfortune.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, good God, he's speaking in here. I don't know who this is for. My vision does not respond to your negative plight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't speed up my vision because you lost your job.
All right.
I don't speed up my vision because your marriage is in trouble. I don't speed up my vision because your situation has now changed in this season. It's still going to come to pass, but not when you're ready for it. Everybody, look at your watch. If you got on the watch, look at your watch. Now, everybody in here, I bet you, is 5 to 15 minutes off. My watch says 9:33. Every watch in here, you got 9:35. Some people try to psychologically trick themselves out, so theirs is already at 10 because you late everywhere, so you got to have a 30-minute buffer. And then you still don't wind up adhering to it because you know it's 30 minutes ahead. So you'd be like, I got time. And so nobody's watching here is the same. So nobody in here could tell me when God was coming.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have the same, we're not even synced in here on time. So how you gonna be synced in time when he's in eternity? And what God is literally saying is, the vision is not on your clock. It's on my clock. Well, God, I'm losing everything. Money, resources, relationships. If you progress high enough, hair, teeth.
Yes, sir. Come on here.
Vision. Control. I'm losing it, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You think you are. But it's on my time. And when my time comes, it won't lie. I have divinely set the clock for the promise that I put in your spirit before your circumstance could catch up to it. Oh God, I gotta say this. The reason why the Lord put that thing in your spirit is so you wouldn't die until you see it. Oh God, I know I felt something right there. I felt something right there. You would have gave up a long time ago if it had not been for that thing that he put on the inside of you. And on your very worst day, when you wanted to swallow all them pills and take your revolver and blow your brains out, something on the inside of you stopped you and said, no, not yet. Let's just wait one more week. And one more week turned into one more month. And one more month turned into one more year. And something on the inside of you says, I can't die until I see the thing that I heard on the inside of my spirit. Come hell or high water, I won't give up until I get what God has for me. It may not be here now. I know he told me in 1994, but it must be just accruing interest. He wouldn't let me wait this long if it wasn't going to be better when he gave it to me. God, I thank you that you didn't give it to me now. If you would have gave it to me now, I would have messed it up because my character wasn't ready. If you would have gave it to me now, I would have messed it up because my integrity wasn't ready. If you would have gave it to me then, my marriage wasn't ready. If you would have gave it to me then, I still didn't know how to handle a credit card. But now, God, now I've been broken. Now I'm limping. Now I can finally handle what it is you have for me. And so I'm not going to trip. You be sinking in depression. Tired of waiting, Lord. I can't wait no more. I can't wait. I can't wait.
handle it no more, Jesus. It's over. You're not coming. You're not coming. You're not coming. I'm coming. You're not coming. Hold on, let me get my tablet. I ran. No, you ain't gonna do that. You ain't gonna. You ain't gonna do that. I have $7 in the bank.
Come on.
I went to the ATM and it told me no. I didn't ask for a 20, I asked for a 10, and my ATM said, I still can't help you. You only got $7 in there.
Come on. Yes, sir.
And somewhere in the middle of depression and darkness looming in, dim the lights, dim the lights, dim the lights. Darkness starts setting in. Come on, help me preach, dim them. Darkness starts coming. It starts getting dark. And you stop believing that what he said he was going to do is going to happen. Because it's getting dark. Come on, darker. Dark. Help me preach. It's going to mess up TV for 3 minutes, but I need my sermon to be right. Come on, help me. Dark, dark, dark. There we go, dark. It's getting dark. I said dark. I said it's getting dark. It's so dark. It's so dark that I can't even recognize who I am anymore. I just see a silhouette. I feel like I'm just a shadow of myself. I can't see nothing. Darkness is all around me. I'm depressed. I feel like the world is caving in on me. And I'm sitting here with this stupid tablet, and it's so dark I can't even read it no more. I ain't got near one flashlight. My cell phone battery went dead, and I'm just sitting in the dark with a promise. I'm sitting in the dark with a word, and I don't know how it's going to get better. I don't know how it's going to light up. I don't know when I'm going to see the breaking of day, but just about the time that I feel like I'm going to give up, just about the time that I feel like I'm going to die, just about the time that I feel like it, all hell is going to break loose without even... With no help from me, with no assistance from me, with no way to pay the electric bill, I see the lights start coming on, and I don't know how the lights are coming on, but I'm starting to see my way clear. I'm starting to see God move in a supernatural way. I'm starting to see him do breakthroughs in my life. I'm getting a better anointing. I'm getting more strength. I'm getting more power. I'm getting more anointing. The devil can't stop me now. The devil can't defeat me now. Every lie that he told me is starting to break off my life. Generational curses are moving. Generational hexes are moving. Every witch that cursed me. Every negative word that was spoken into my spirit. The devil can't hold me no more. And I start seeing the light of day. In the end, it shall speak and not lie. What you told me wasn't a lie. What you told me wasn't a lie. You're not playing tricks with me. You're not messing with my emotions. What you told me is the truth. And so I believe what you told me. I believe what you told me. Even though I was abused, I believe what you told me. Bad business deal, but I believe what you told me. Everything going wrong, but I believe what you told me. and it's coming. I said it's coming. Hey! I said it's coming. I said it's coming. That's the reason why I had to wait so long. Because it's coming. Last thing and I'm a close. He says something that used to frustrate me in the text, Myron. Literally, it made me mad. Because I can get mad at him. Because it's just us talking. He always playing word games.
Though it tarry, wait for it. It's just really going to pass when I tarry.
Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it's surely going to come to pass. It won't tarry. Really? Really? I'm supposed to get happy about that? Yes. Give me a chair. Sit in it. He's holding my blessing. And he don't take it up yet because they might not be finished. He's holding my blessing. And he was placed here before Jesus said, before God said in the beginning. He put my blessing right here. Set it up in 2009. Set the whole thing up. And then walked all the way out of time. And said, let there be light. 6,000 years after he placed it there, somewhere in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you was born. And the vision been waiting there the whole time. You got to understand the wordplay. If you look up this word, preachers, in the Hebrew, that word tarry is there twice, but it's two different meanings. It says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. He's saying, though the vision tarry, wait for it. He said, though it remains in one place. Come on, I need your mind right here. Though it remains in one place, wait for it. That second word, tarry, means delay or reluctancy. Let's put it in context. Though the vision remains in one place, it will surely come to pass. There will not be a delay. God, I wish somebody could catch this in the spirit. Though the vision remains in one place, it's been in one place all of eternity. But wait for it. Because it's surely going to come to pass. It will not delay. Well, God, how am I supposed to wait? Because if I stand here and it's over there, how are we ever going to meet? Don't worry about it. I've been moving you in this direction. Ah! 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 Since you was born, I've been moving you in this direction. Through molestation, I've been moving you in this direction. Through rapes and abortions, I've been moving you in this direction. Through negative circumstances, I've been moving you in this direction. Through hell and high water, I've been moving you in this direction. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. But I'm getting closer to what he promised me. Through miscarriages, I'm still going to get it. Through delays, I'm still going to get it. So I'm going to stop tripping because it's coming. I'm going to stop tripping because it's coming. How's it coming, preacher? Every day I walk with him, sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I'm getting closer to my destiny. It's not anxious. It's not getting fret. It's not tripping, and it ain't moving. It's got my name on it, and can't nobody have it but me. Can't nobody touch it
but me. Can't nobody grab it but me. Can't nobody attain it but me. Somebody give him a praise.
Hey,
give him a praise. Stop tripping, it's coming. Stop tripping, it's coming. Stop tripping, it's coming. Stop tripping, it's coming. I'm getting my money. I'm getting my healing. I'm getting my breakthrough. I'm getting my deliverance. I'm getting my power. I'm getting my anointing. It's waiting on me. It's seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's mine. It's mine. It's. Come on and praise him. I said, come on and praise him. If you know it's coming, pull it down. Stop tripping about your circumstance. It's coming. Stop tripping about your situation. It's coming. Don't worry about your past. It's coming. Don't worry about the pain. It's coming. Don't worry about the layoff.
What I'm about to ask you to do is absolutely ridiculous. I don't expect everybody to do it. This is only for the people that just got confirmation that what you wrote, you're going to see him do before you shut your eyes. The text said, Pastor Exum, this is what it said. It said, write the vision and make it plain that they that read it can run with it. You can't make nobody else run about your vision. Until you run with your vision. This may be a little chaotic. Y'all know I'm a runner. That's what I do. I don't need it. Well, you just beat me to it, girl. Run! 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 Pow! Pow! Go get it! 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 Don't y'all start doing no laps in here. Don't start acting like you got your vision back. Don't start acting like you got your anointing back. Run! Run!
your blessing. Run for your healing. Run for your breakthrough. Run for your anointing. Run for your power. Run for your deliverance. Run for your children. Run for your legacy. Run for your generation. Run if you're young. Run if you're old. Run. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That first run was for you and your vision. But now I need everybody that got a child in here. If you got a vision that you want to see them go higher and do more than you did, this next run is for them. Oh, you ain't even ready. I'm out. Get your baby. Get your kids. Get your generation out!
Forever and ever. Forever and ever. more than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Pastor Tim Ross this morning. Stop tripping. It's coming. Stop doubting God. Learn to stand on his word. Yeah. Be firm in him. Know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is for you. He so loved us, he sent his only begotten son. If we'll believe on him, we won't perish. See, if you believe, you're going to stay in his word. You're going to walk according to his word. You're going to apply his word to your everyday life. You're going to seek him daily. He's going to get the first fruit of everything with you. When you wake up thanking him. You wake up with your mind on him. All during the day, your mind is on him. He's keeping you in perfect peace. Look what Habakkuk said in chapter 2, starting at verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just, come on, Barbara, shall live by faith. Are we living by faith? Are we walking by faith and not knowing where we're going? Do we see where we're going? Because if you know where you're going, that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look, let me tell you this morning. I had to have faith. God gave us some things, and I had to pay for these things. That there's an every 2 week bill, there's a month, there are monthly bills. He opened a budget just for me to pay for my truck, the things I wanted. Other things, there are those I have to help. There are seeds I have to plant, tithes and offering I have to pay. And I'm not rich. He told me to go ahead and do what I was going to do. I went ahead and did it. When I looked, they say I had a negative balance in my account, insufficient funds. But guess what I did? I let it go. I cannot worry over that. Worrying is a sin. I can't even be concerned for that. I had to let that go so he could move. Look, as I'm praising this morning, he's showing me he's moving upon these things. And the just shall live by faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. That's how I got here. I didn't know how God would change my life. The scripture said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. When I first come to him, I didn't know what kind of life he would give me. I had no clue. I wasn't concerned about what kind of life. I was concerned about finding him and holding on to him. And I believed he would take care of me. In 2006, I retired. In 2006, I couldn't get the money yet. I wasn't old enough, they said, and I it just wasn't time. But I no longer wanted to work for man. Listen to me. I no longer wanted to punch man's time clock. I only wanted to punch God's time clock, and I wanted to do it full time. I come off the job. I didn't, Louis was there. Louis, you remember? I didn't know how I would be provided for. But I walked by faith and not by sight. Up comes a daughter. And she said, Mom, I know what you go through. I know the work. I've been with you. I know the work. I'm going to bless you. Like clockwork. She didn't skip a beat. And until this day, she didn't skip a beat. I was online looking for something, and this thing popped up about demonstrating products in the store. You know those women you see cooking the little food, and you can taste it because they want you to buy the products. I applied for that. They gave me that little job Saturday and on Sunday, a Friday and Saturday. I could go $80 a day. Don't tell me what he won't do. I was yet working full-time ministry, traveling and doing all I was supposed to do unto him, but he opened the door and made a way. I can't tell you every day was Sunday. I can't tell you I had millions in the bank. I can't even tell you I had hundreds in the bank. But I was able to bless ministries with $400, $200, $300, and be well provided for. Had a car paid for. The place where I live was only $400 a month. Fully well, it wasn't furnished. He blessed the boss mama to give me furniture. Because I wasn't looking for big. I wasn't looking for little. I was looking at whatever state I was in to be content in him. I was looking for him to fill me more, to grow me more, to give me more wisdom in him and about him and the work that he called and chose me for. I wasn't concerned with what the world thought about my life. And let me tell you something. I lived in a one-room apartment. My boss used to call it, a garage apartment. And we used to laugh. I sectioned it out off and made a whole house off of it. I've had more people to visit there than I did here. I have plenty of room here, but there I had more people from out of town would come to be there. Oh, y'all don't understand. My goddaughter out of San Diego drove there from Miami. She had a meeting in Miami. She drove from Miami to Jacksonville to see me and spent the night in the garage apartment because people understood this God was there. His anointing was there. It was peaceful in there. Folk came, daycare workers, all kind of people came, brought their work with them just to take a nap in there, brought their work with them just to sit around in there and watch me on the computer and talk to me. Why? I was making the vision plain. I had already wrote it down. Oh, look at here this morning. I walk by faith and not by sight. The just should live by faith. I was living by faith. Daughter, come and move me out of there. Mama, you got to go. Mama, I want better for you. Came and paid for everything. Move me out of there. Move me to a nice apartment. Woo! Stayed with me for a while. Left, went to California, come back. Come back with a job. Come back blessing me, paying for everything. Hey, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. My work wasn't done. See, I couldn't be in the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. That wasn't where the work was. See, this when you're really in God and he's in you. You're not in him because of what he can give you. You're not in him for where you want to be. You're in him for where he wants you to be. Moved into the project. No children, none of that. He opened the door for me. I was in school. Yeah. 2 years later, living in the project, I graduated, got my degree. I didn't go out and get no job. I came to Blog Talk Radio, still working unto him. Things was happening in the project. He used me to keep the peace, to feed children, to get children to and from school, to encourage teenagers to go back to school. I had work to do. It wasn't about what I had. See, these today Christians, let me tell you how they are. When God send the test, they can't stand the test. Because guess what? Their flesh too busy being in the way. He said to love, for God is love. He so loved the world, but we can't love nobody. These are my enemies. I'm not going to love them. He said to love your enemies. Now, that's, I have nothing to do with that. That's his word. I wasn't even there when he inspired man to write it, but I know it to be the truth. See, we out here with all this God, God, yes, he is. Won't he do it? This, that, and the other cliches and all this foolishness. But we're not living this word. We're not walking by faith and not by sight. When God say move, we can't move because we're scared if we move, we're going to lose this we got. Are you kidding me? Whatever state you're in, learn to be content. And if you really got God, know this, no matter where you go, he's right there. He promised never to leave you, not forsake you. Stayed in the project 7 years. Drove that 1998 Silver Soldier. I drove that Silver Soldier boat ride for 9 years. At the ending of 9 years, it was time to get another car. I didn't want another car. That one was paid for. All my daughter did is pay the insurance every month. I wasn't getting no new car. Let me tell you, it's going to be his way. If you and him and he and you said, Lord, I want my will to be your will. Both right, I'm taking a woman to look at a house because they had evicted her. So I'm taking her around to find her somewhere to live. The car stopped in the middle of the street. I cruised on enough to get out the street to pull it on the side of the road. Called AAA, called my baby, my youngest daughter. And AAA come and got the car. She took me around at a time plus. I went around there to talk about the car. Louie, they said my baby had died. I said, oh, no, y'all going to resurrect this baby. The man said, Miss Mike, we can't resurrect it. I said, oh, y'all can do something. Y'all going to have to resurrect my baby. He said, well, I tell you what, Miss Mike, we can resurrect it, but it'll cost $3,000. I said, oh, I'm going to have to get another baby. I'm just going to have to go on and have another baby. I'm on the computer. A week went by Friday night by 9 o'clock. This thing just popped up, and I have pop-up blockers. You need a car, apply here. It was the strangest thing you ever wanted to see. You know when God moves in. It's not the norm. I applied, went on the bed, woke up the next morning, the manager called me. What is you looking for? I talked to him, told him what I wanted. He said, I think we got the perfect car for you. In an hour, I'm going to have somebody to call you back and get all your information, and we'll go from there. Well, the woman called me back, and she asked me some questions. And then she said, well, we need you to come on out here, Miss Mac, and take a look at this vehicle. I said, well, the man told me I could do everything online. She said, you can, but you can't drive this off the lot online. You got to come and pick it up. I said, well, I don't want to get out there and be disappointed. I don't like all of that. I need to know now. She said, Miss Mac, can you come on out here? I went on out there. They had picked me out one of the world's cutest little Toyota RAV4s, all silver, inside so clean, looked like it had just come off the showroom floor. Do you hear what in the project? I can't begin to tell you what faith does. I can't begin to tell you living according to his word, what that does. I can't begin to tell you. It will do so much for you. But we got to stop playing. And we got to stop having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. We got to get real with God. I'm a living witness from 2006 up until 2021. He has taken care of me. I didn't retire until, how old I was, Louis, 62 or 63, I got my retirement money started. And they say that was too early. I should have waited till 65. I wasn't studying. Y'all haven't been taking care of me. It's Almighty God, not no Social Security and retirement money. It was Almighty God that took care of me. He even kept my mind. He kept my health. He kept me clothes in my right mind. Money. We got to let go of some things and love folk today. For God is love. If you got God, you're going to know how to love. If you don't have him, you can't love your enemies. Because that's what you, all you'll see is enemies. I'm telling you what he pleased with today. You want to be blessed? Love them enemies. You don't have to associate with them. You don't have to be bothered with them, but you have to forgive them and love them and move on. In Jesus' name, we got to seek God with our whole heart. when I tell you he blessed me. I had to call my daughter the other day and tell her how much I appreciate her and how much I love her and the gifts that she has given unto me. There's no other daughter I ever known like this one. I don't know one. I had to let her know when I look at my iPhone 11, God used her to bless me. When I look at my truck, God used her to bless me. When I look at this house, God used her to bless me. If I need something and I call her, she got it. It's mine. There's no question asked. I said, well, Mama, I don't know what. I don't need to know why. You say this is what you need, Mama, I'm sending it. Go with that, Mama. Now. And so, Mama, so-and-so, and go on to the next thing. For years, when I tell you if you sell out to God, he will provide for you. Whatever state you in, stop grumbling and complaining. Tell me what you don't like. Oh, I can't do this. Right? Honey, you can't do it because it's you and the devil trying to do it. But if it's you and God, you can do it. And rejoice. I was in Hilltop Village Apartments, the project. Had the best time of my life, honey. I'm enjoying over there. The little children used to come. I had little friends, 3 and 4 year olds. Ooh, I could see it like it was yesterday. My little friends come to the door to talk to me and everything. Kevin Hart, not too long, had come out with the saying, all right, all right, all right. You going to learn today. And when the kids would come to the door, I would say, all right, all right. They would say, you going to learn today, Miss Mac. The neighbor upstairs mother said, Miss Mac, you need to stop this foolishness. Miss Mac, you trained them children and have me up there screaming and hollering. She said, I laugh so hard because they be all to the door to Miss Mac. You know I'm about that life. That's what they used to tell me. I'm about the life right there. I said, and what life is that? Them cupcakes you make it. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, but you got to let go of you. Let go of your flesh. You wasn't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You didn't come from a rich family. If you were, I never would have met you. You'd have been somewhere else. Cut the foolishness out. Stop thinking more of yourself than you ought to. Because if that's what you're doing, you're listening to the world. You're not listening to God. Whatever state you're in, learn to be content. And stop being concerned what people in the world going to think and say about you. Because all they got for you is your special spot in hell. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. Let go and let God move in your life. He want to take you to some beautiful places. He want to give you some beautiful testimonies. Mine too, Brother Lewis, goofing up. Yeah. God want to bless us. See, we want to pick and choose who we want to love, who we want to like, who we want to give to, who we don't want to give to. Let go. I see him on the side of the road. We'll work for food. I know it's a lie many times, but he said, be careful, for some have entertained angels unaware. And sometimes God will let evil come your way because you evil. You thinking there's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. You didn't get it right yet. You got a form of godliness, and you denying the power thereof, but you think you on your way with God. Everybody else wrong but you. I have to look at me. I have to take real self-inventory of Barbara. I can't be all that focused on my daughter. Yeah. It took a long time for me to get a girl. I can't be just focused on her. He called me to a work. He called me to do something. I did what I could do for her. I trained her about him. I trained her up in the way she should go so when she get old, she wouldn't depart. It's up to her and her God now. I told him what I wanted, and I turned it loose. I know y'all think I'm joking with you. I'm beholden to nothing but Jesus. I'm beholden to nothing but Almighty God. I know y'all think I'm playing with you. I can give up stuff just like that because I'm moving on in him. He gave me certain things because of the work, because of obedience. He gave me certain things because I kept my mind on him. He kept me in perfect peace. I delighted myself in him. He gave me the desires of my heart. I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he started adding these things to me. He didn't give me all of this because I went to work every day and worked two jobs. He didn't give me all of this because I worked like a dog. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I believed him. I kept the faith in him. I trust him. I have patience to wait on him. Yeah. And it's already all right today. But he told you to go on and write the vision and make it plain. Write it up on tables that he may run that read it. Yeah. Some people read what I want, or read what I believe, or heard what I believe, and they take flight. Well, if he'll do it for her, he going to do it. I'm going to do that she's doing. I'm going to come up in my faith in God. I'm going to get me a new truck. Shoot, I think she got that house on that hill with the dog named Fluffy. I'm going to get that. They read the vision. They heard about the vision. And it's already all right today in the name of Jesus. I got to play Kelvin's song this morning. Kelvin, I'm playing your song for you this morning. Enjoy it, sir. Enjoy your song. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And listen, I got to get out the address for Mr. Miles Davis, and I will share his address so that anybody who want to write Miles can write him. He's artistic. He's special. And he goes to the mailbox every day looking for letters with his name on it. And I wrote him, but I didn't hear back. And on the 15th, I was supposed to play a special dedicated song to him. And I forgot it because they didn't write me back. But I'm going to get out his address and give it out on tomorrow. And we'll be able to continue to write Miles. I'm going to send him a card this time and ask the parents or whoever his caregiver is if they would give me a call so that, you know, I can know what date he can come and take a listen. Yeah, Mr. Miles Davis. Yeah, running to the mailbox every day. Cute, 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 just cute. Yeah, and I thank God for these opportunities. See, some people wouldn't pay that no attention because, see, they got the mega ministry. They're too big. Their name out there in lights. They don't have time. Everybody else is working. They work, and, you know, they somewhere else doing whatever. But I pay attention because I want to be a blessing wherever God put me, wherever he used me. And, see, I tell you, I'm blessed because I do things others won't do. He needs somebody who would do the unimaginable. He needs somebody who got compassion like Jesus had. He needs somebody that's got the real love of him in them. And they're not looking for the high-minded stuff. See, some people can't do nothing unless it's name brand. My name is just as important, but more so God's name is more important than every name. And a lot of people got all this stuff and portraying all of this, don't have two nickels to rub together. They're robbing Peter to pay Paul. About to lose everything, but they out with the name brand and the, you know, the whoop-de-doo so people can look up to them and think they got stuff, especially black folks. We're the biggest floggers I ever saw in my life. The biggest liars, all on Facebook with all them lies and all. Don't have nothing. House about to fall apart, but they got the new cars. I'm telling you the truth. Working like dogs. So stressed out. I just have to let God lead and guide me. And the just shall live by faith. Are you living by faith, or are you living by sight? Are you adding your coins up so you'll know what the end going to be? Are you trusting God? I got a paycheck for $80 one time. But honey, I bought more with $80 than you ever seen in your life. Went to the bank. I was going to do a Thanksgiving basket giveaway. And I had many people to bless. $80 is what I got. I went to the bank. They ended up giving me $400 and something, I think. It was by mistake. I kept going back to them. Would you count your drawdown? They said, well, we'll count it down tomorrow. And if it's over the limit, less than, we'll let you know. They never let me know nothing. He multiplied the 80 so I could bless somebody. You hear what I'm telling you? And the just shall live by faith. Do you really know what faith is? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see nothing. And you got to have patience. But we want to know where everything coming from. I didn't know where this bill money was coming from. But I knew God would make a way. I planted seeds. I'm a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. And listen, I need y'all to go over there and give to Sister Rita. Plant, plant, plant. I'm trying to tell you something this morning. Stop ignoring when God is speaking to you. Stop ignoring it like, oh, somebody going to do it. Oh, they talking to somebody else. Oh, I don't know, Rita. Oh, this, that, and the other. Listen, he wants to bless you. The potter wants to put you back together again because some of y'all done fell apart. You're raggedy. But God want to put you back together. Go over on to GoFundMe and look for this. Help family get a place to live. Help family get a place to live. You never know when your day is coming. Oh, you riding high right now. But any day, you can fall down. You can become homeless. Yeah. So you want to give over there. If it's just a dollar, all of us give a dollar a week. I don't care. Give 20 a week until we fulfill this goal so that they can have a stable place to live. I saw you down there, Brother D. I don't know where you ran to, but I saw you down there, Brother D. I saw that 706 today. Yeah, it made me real happy. I was intending to say something about it, too. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, Mr. Kevin. Kevin, I'm playing your song right now.
From Memphis, Tennessee, little small house, big family, 7 kids and I'm the baby. But I'm grown now and I'm like, praise the Lord, 'cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud, and I'm gonna take it.
Radio, not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank the Lord this morning for all that has been said and done. We thank him for his word. We thank him for the truth. And the ones who can't accept the truth, let me tell you something. God can use a weak person. You know, we trembling in our boots. We scared to say anything. I would say something, but this, God can use that. He needs some bold soldiers. He needs them that's going to hold the bloodstained banner up and walk according to his word. Apply his word. Make your flesh behave. A lot of things you're going to do unto God is going to hurt your flesh because your flesh don't want to come under subjection. You got to make it come. And what I do a lot of days is I can help a lot of people. I put myself in that position. How, if I was going through that, how would I feel? Even folk done lied on me. I said, now, if I lied on a good person, I knew they was good, but I got angry with them or whatever, and I just lied on them, what would I want people to do for me? Pray for me. Encourage me in Jesus so I can come out of this mess. He died for all of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He didn't make no distinctions. Whoever will receive him, he will in no wise cast them out. And we can't say we the people of God, we Christians, we saints, and not honor God's word because of our flesh, what our flesh wants. Let me tell you, right here, Jesus, in the morning, I've seen God remove people. I've seen God remove people out of my life because he's not going to let nothing separate me. He's not going to do it because I don't want it done. He will let nothing separate me from his love. I have too much at stake. I have too many lives I'm responsible for. I have too many people I got to tell the truth. Too many people I have to be there for. Then, of course, I have my own family. But I don't behold in my family like most people, because I gave them to the Lord, especially them children and grandchildren, great-grand, I gave them to the Lord. Now, God, you got to do with them what you want to do with them. I love them. I still bake goodie bars for them, cookies, because that's what they know me for, the grandmama that feed them. Grandmama, you making cookies? Grandmama, you going to make us a goodie bars? We'll come over there. Yeah. I do it every now and then. I'm not a grandmama that bow down to grandchildren. I don't do that. I'm only bowing down to God. I don't bow down to children. I bow down to God. I got two wonderful nieces, two twins. One of them cuss a lot. My goodness, from Zion, remind me of my old self. Yeah. And them two girls, if I call on them girls, they coming now. You ain't got to worry about it. They'll get together and talk about me behind my back and all of that, but let me call one of them. Yeah. I called one. She came and cleaned. Oh, that thing can clean, too. And went on about her business. I said, well, here your money. Okay, I'm going to get it later on. I got to run somewhere. Came out here one day. I need you to do this, this. And when COVID first hit, I said, I ain't let nobody in my house. She came right on. But put it on the front porch. Ain't nobody putting nothing on no porch. Come on in. Got in here and did some work for her. She left me $80 and went on down the street. I didn't even know she was going to give me some money. God will make a way for us if we'll get real with him. Stop out here trying to act like you all that. Especially black folks. You come from slavery. Your folk parents didn't even have shoes. And they was beaten and raped and mingled and all kind of stuff, but yet you around here walking like you was born something. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. We deserve death. Cut the foolishness out, would you please? That's if you're saved. Now, I'm talking to saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled people. I ain't talking to them folk that got that form of godliness because you part of the world. But if you're really part of God, let's see some signs. Let's see some love. Let's see some being a cheerful giver. Some folks gave, they didn't have that money like that, but they gave what they could to Sister Rita to help her reach her goal. They understand the bad accident. Did y'all see them cars? The back, the side, and the front? Kyle should have been dead. He walked away broke up, but he walked away alive. Rita didn't have to prepare for a funeral. She just had to come off a job and not get a job and stay there and take care of her young. And God yet provides. He's a way maker. Hallelujah. So we thank him this morning. We give him glory, honor, and praise. And we love him today because it was him that first loved us. Hallelujah. And listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. And I didn't open the studio today, but I will open it tomorrow and open it back up. Yeah, got to do it. Because the format is what God gave, not what I gave. I can't just do anything I want to do over here. I have to follow his instructions. And it's going to be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. We thank you, Lord, that we want to stop doubting because it's coming. Whatever you have promised us, it is coming. And Lord, we just need the patience to wait on you to bring it forth in the name of Jesus. As we depart this morning, stir up the love in us, even for our enemies. Stir up in us prayer that we pray for those that despitefully use us and against us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, for we realize this morning, it's not the person, it's the evil spirit that will use a person against us. Father, we love you today, and we know that you love us. We're grateful unto you. We appreciate you. And Father, we thank you. We can't thank you enough. If each one of us had 10,000 tongues and each began to praise you, it wouldn't be enough because you're more than worthy, God, of any tongue that can give you praise. Father, you've done great and mighty things for us. You've opened doors and made ways where we see no ways. As we depart this morning, Father, if we have a form of godliness and denying your power, Father, we ask that you would take it from us and that, God, you would restore it with your love. Restore it with a spirit of obedience unto you like never before. In the name of Jesus, as we depart this morning, Father, I ask that you would give us all a sound mind. Lord, some of our minds are warped. We're not quite sure. But God, as we depart this morning, heal our hearts and heal our minds. And let this mind be in us that was also in your Son, Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we ask this morning. We thank you for hearing. Father, we thank you for answering. We ask this morning that you would bless our going out. Father, bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. The earth is yours, Father, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. There's nothing too hard for you to do. With you, all things are possible. And Lord, move upon our heart's desires today. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today in the name of Jesus. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, I won't be coming back. God bless you today.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the one and only Beverly Crawford. Come on, put those hands together. You know who lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in this world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. You world today.